I'm excited to be up here, and we're in Philippians chapter 3, and I want to start off this evening. I want to dare you guys to do something. I'm gonna dare you, okay? Just like when you were kids, and you know, my brother and I did that. We dare each other just to do really dumb stuff all the time, you know. Dare you to see how fast you can get going on your bike before you hit that tree, you know. But this one's not a dumb dare, don't worry. I want to dare you to do something. I want to dare you to be different. It's good. I want to dare you to be different. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, is living differently than the world. Living differently just because people around us are living one way does not mean we as Christians have to live that way. And I want to dare you to be different tonight. But why? What's the point? What's the point in living differently? Don't we say things like, you know, when in Rome, and go with the flow and the path of least resistance, because that's easier. That is much easier. And you know what? When it doesn't matter, by all means, go with the flow. You know, just path of least resistance, whatever. But our testimony, our lives, how we live, that's important. And we don't need to settle. And I dare say, every single one of you came back out to church on a Sunday night. I'm going to hazard a guess and say you all are not the kind of people who will just settle in your lives. You're here on a Sunday night. That says something. That says you want to grow spiritually, but yet we all struggle with this. There are things in all of our lives where we want to settle. Maybe it's at home. We think, well, you know, everyone else does stuff at home. You know, this is just my little thing. I do this. You know, no one knows about it. No one sees me. It's okay. You know, everyone else does that too. We don't need to settle. At work, maybe we get involved in the office gossip. Maybe we're, you know, we're sitting around with the guys laughing at the same jokes everyone else is, even though really not jokes that Christians ought to be laughing at. Maybe at school, all the other kids are doing it. So in adults, it's not just for kids who think that way. So I think we give kids a lot harder time for that than we give the adults for, but we're guilty too, right? Amen? So, spiritually, even. We settle spiritually. We don't always live different spiritually either. Who else? No one else prays. Well, I'll find out. I don't need to pray tonight. Study my Bible. You know, who reads that anymore? It's just an old book. We need to live differently than that. We need to dare to be different because it's not easy. And you know what? I thought about this. This is kind of funny. I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to ask you to do something that's not easy. It's probably not going to make your life more comfortable or, you know, ease whatever you're going through right now. This is probably not going to do that. And I'm going to stand up here and ask you to do it anyways. Because you know what? It's not easy, but it's worth it. And we don't need to settle. I mean, when was the last time you ever heard a sports team running around going, "We're number two! We're number two! We got second place!" So now, me in sports, I'm like, I got a place? That's awesome! But it's true. I was literally in school, whenever like they pick teams for playing basketball or football or anything, I was literally always in the group where they said, "All right, you take the rest." That was me. I'm always in that group. I'm like with the kid who's got a broken leg. And but you don't hear teams going, "We're number two," or you know, you don't Super Bowl. You don't see one of the teams going, "Well, you know, we're really hoping we get second place this year in the NFL." No, no one does that. No one wants to settle, and we don't need to settle either. We can live differently. We can dare to live differently in our Christian's life, in our Christian life, but why should we do it? What is the point? Why bother? If it's more difficult, if it's probably just going to cause me more trouble than I already got now, why should we do it? Well, let's see what the Bible's got to say. Philippians chapter 3, and I told you verse 20, but I'm going to just read you guys verse 17, 18, and 19 for some context here. It says, "Brethren," this is Paul talking to brethren, to other Christians, and just so you know, if you're here tonight, you're not saved and you're not a Christian. Right now, this part is directed towards Christians, but I'll come around and get back to you later. Don't worry about that. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk," this is many now, this isn't, you know, we're not talking about, you know, a small minority or a vocal tiny percentage, this is many. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So he's describing these people here. He's saying, mark us which walk as you have seen. Mark us for examples. Because there are many who live wickedly who are enemies of the cross. So watch us for an example. So because you should watch us, why? Why should we do that? For. That's important. You look right at verse 20, that next word, for. So mark us which walk as an example. For our conversation is in heaven. The first reason we need to live differently is because of our home. We have a different home. That word conversation, it's an interesting word because we don't use it the way, they didn't use it the way we use it today. So conversation there, that word, if you go back to the original Greek, it's talking about citizenship, about a commonwealth. He's saying our commonwealth, our citizenship is in heaven. So just, and it's really interesting, just an interesting little side note. That this Philippian church, that would have made a lot of sense to them because they were a city that was part of Rome, but not at Rome. Much like today in another country, an American consulate, that little area will be American soil, even though it's in another country. So just like that, our citizenship, we are citizens of heaven, not of this world. This world is not our home. Heaven is. And that ought to change how we live. That ought to make us different because our interests, the things that tie us down, the things that connect us to our home, it's not worldly things. They're not. And think about home. Home's a really nice thing to think about, you know? So you think about home. I mean, I was, Jeff mentioned that I was out of town this past week. You know, I mean, I had a great time, but I really wanted to be home. It's just not the same. I love being home. Home is nice. Home is great. And I was, you know, I was thinking when I was driving back, I stopped in South Carolina for gas on my way back. You know, I could have stopped and I could have said, no, South Carolina is kind of nice. I don't know why anyone would say that, but I'm just kidding. If anyone's from South Carolina, nothing against South Carolina. It's just, I don't know. What's in South Carolina? But say, you know, I stopped in South Carolina. I'm like, South Carolina's kind of nice, you know. Maybe, you know, I'm stopping for gas. I'm pumping gas. You know what I should do? I should find an apartment here. It's kind of nice. So, and, you know, I get back in my truck, drive around, start looking for an apartment. You know, this place is kind of nice. Oh, you know, if I'm going to rent an apartment, I need a job. So, you know, I work as an interpreter for a living. I do what you see me doing up here. So I'm like, let me see, who needs an interpreter here? And I start looking for work, and I start lining up a job, and I start getting an apartment in South Carolina, of all places. And I start doing that. It would be pointless, because you know what? It's just going to keep me from where I want to go, and it's going to keep me from home. But oftentimes, here's the thing, is that's a silly example. We listen to that, like, why on earth would you do that? Of course you want to get home. That's what you do when you drive. That's why you sit there like, come on, come on, come on. I just want to get there already. So, because we want to get home when you're traveling. You don't want to sit there like, see how long I can sit in the car for. That's not fun. So, I wanted to get home, but oftentimes us Christians, we let the things of the world hold us back from being as effective as we can for our home. We're still going to get there one day. We will. So, my example breaks down a little bit, I know that, but you all get the point that our home's there, but oftentimes we get tied down here. We get connected and involved with the things here. I think about Lot in the Bible, Abraham's nephew. So, really interesting story. I would say I love the story, but it's really sad. We see Lot, and he's with his uncle Abraham, and they have all these cows and all these people. And Abraham's like, Lot, got to do something. There's not room here for the both of us. You go one way, I'll go the other. Which way do you want to go? Right thing for Lot to do would go, oh, uncle, you choose which way and I'll go the other. That would have been, you know, the right thing for him to do. He looks over and he sees Sodom over there. It's really wicked but nice city. And he's like, I'll go over there. See you later. And he goes over there. Next thing we know, the Bible tells us he's pitching his tent towards Sodom. He's, you know, kind of got his eye on it. You know, he's starting setting up his tent. That looks kind of good. I just want to keep an eye, see what's going on down there. Next time we see Lot in the Bible, guess where he is? In Sodom, in their gates, hanging out with them. He's become one of them. He got tied down to that city. That didn't end well for him. So And we do the same thing. That's the thing, is it's really easy for us now to look at the Bible and look at Lot and say, what are you doing? What are you doing getting into this city and getting tied up in all that mess? What's wrong with you? However, if we were honest, a lot of times it's easy for us to look at our own lives too and say, what's wrong with you? Why are you getting tied up in this mess? Why do you just keep going back to the same thing again and again? God wants us to live differently. But often, we like to tie ourselves down. We like to leave ourselves stuck. That's how the deaf would say it, is stuck. So we like to leave ourselves stuck where we are. And that's just sad, because you know what? God doesn't want Christians to settle. He wants us to live differently. And we need to live differently because we have a different home. And that should influence how we live, because our life is not connected here. Sure, we have stuff here. We have a house, a family, a car. But our heart shouldn't be here in this world. Our heart should be on heavenly things, a thing that's going to be with us in the next life, not on things here, but on things above. Paul said, set your heart on things above, not on things of this world. So first, it's because of our home. And secondly, it's because of our hope. If you look in verse 20 again, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just love that. A little note, that word look, that's not like look. Like, you know, you're sitting there, you know, ooh, wow, that made a noise. You're sitting there like, you know, kind of just twiddling your thumbs like, you know, like you're waiting for the commercial break to be over. That's not what that means. That look, I looked it up. It means eagerly awaiting. That's what that means, that you're excited. That's the kind of thing where you're like, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Come on, come on, come on. I just can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. I want it to happen. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I remember when I was in high school, I was in a youth group. I'm born and raised in Florida. Love Florida. I love Florida, but I'm from South Florida originally. There was this really good-looking girl in my youth group when I was in high school. Really pretty girl. Her name's Michelle. Same one. Don't worry. But I remember one day I finally worked up the courage to ask her for her phone number. Whew, you want to talk about anxious, eager. I was eager. So I worked up the courage finally. I talked to a mutual friend about it, and he laughed at me, but I don't get deterred easy. So I finally, one night, I worked up the courage after youth group, and I kind of followed her around the parking lot a little bit. I was eager, but I was nervous. I kind of followed her around the parking lot, like working up the courage, and finally I was like, hey, Michelle. And she was like, yes, like probably reaching for mace in her purse or something. I don't know. But so I was like, hey, I was wondering if we could hang out sometime. I'd like to get your phone number. And she was like, oh, yeah, but not like a date, right? Like friends. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, not like a date. And in my mind, I'm going, I got a date. I got a date. I'm like hopping like for joy in my mind. But I'm like, oh, no, no, of course, just as friends. Yeah, 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 of course, of course. So I got her phone number. And every single guy in here, hear my warning right now, okay? Don't do what I did. I called her before she even made it home. Okay, apparently that's like really creepy. Called her before she even made it home. I was eager. I could not wait. I wanted to call her. I was excited for that date. Just by the way, it worked out pretty well at the end. So just saying. So, but I was eager. And I think about 6 years later when I went to marry that same girl. Coming up to that wedding, I was eager. I was excited. I couldn't wait. When we set the wedding date, it was about 11 months or so after our engagement. I was like, why do we have to make it 11 months? Why can't we just, like, you know, 11 weeks, 11 days? I don't know. Let's just go. Let's just go. That's what courthouses were made for. Let's just go. So I was eager. I was excited. I was eager. That's the kind of eagerness we need to have for the Lord. That's the kind of eagerness. Not like this whole, you know, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be excited about that. Jesus is going to come back. That's exciting. That's exciting. And we need to be excited about that because that's our hope. And then let's look at verse 21. This is talking about Jesus, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Look, we need to live differently because we have a hope in Christ that when he comes back, and praise the Lord he is, that when Jesus comes back, he's going to change our body, our wicked fleshly body. He is going to change it to be like his glorious body. And on top of that, he's going to subdue all things into himself. He's going to subdue all things to himself. All the wickedness we see in the world, the wrongness, Jesus will take care of that. He will. So, and that's exciting. We have a hope, and that hope should cause us to live differently. It's just like, have you ever watched a suspenseful movie more than once? So I know me, when I watch a suspenseful movie, here's what I do. I'm kind of like, Michelle's attest to this. I sit there and I'm, don't do it. And I start biting my nails. I don't know, it's like this weird thing I do. And I don't really like bite my nails when like I'm nervous, but during like a suspenseful movie, or an action movie or something like that, where I'm like, what's gonna happen? Oh. You know that kind of movie where you're just like, you don't really do that the second, third, fourth time through. You're not really like, oh, what's gonna happen? I don't know, because you do know. So, you don't do that. Maybe you watch it again and you enjoy the characters, you enjoy the storyline, but you don't get all like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Because you know it already. You know what's going to happen. You know, we know what's going to happen. You know that. I just read it to you. We know what's going to happen, and we can live differently because of our hope. That's going to change how we act, because we know that we have a Savior who's coming back. We know that we have a Savior who's going to change our vile, wicked bodies. That we have a Savior who's going to set everything right. He's going to come in and subdue all things unto himself. That's exciting. We have that hope. You know what? Paul had that hope too. It's that hope where this book here, Philippians, you got to understand, Paul was not in a happy place when he wrote this. He was not, living the high life, taking it easy. Paul was in this deep, dark, dank, awful Roman prison. Awful. And you know what? In chapter 4, verse 4, he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. A lot of times we think that's kind of like, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I don't think that's how Paul meant it. I think Paul meant it, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I think that's more of how Paul meant it. Because it's exciting. Rejoice in the Lord. Not in a happy situation. You read through what Paul went through. He didn't go through a lot of happy situations serving Christ. But you know what? He's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul had that hope. And at the worst, most awful times, he could say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's hope. And that's, you know what? That's not hope that's exclusive to Paul, that only he can have, that because he's special, or the special, super Christian. That's hope that we all can have. It's not limited. God gives it out to all of us. And so that can cause us to live differently. It's true, because we know what's coming. So, you know what? Here's the thing. When it comes to serving God, living for him, growing in Christ, you can't go wrong. That's like saying, really don't think that person should eat right and exercise. That just doesn't seem like a good idea. It doesn't make sense, That's like common sense. It's like even more basic. I don't know if there's anything more basic than common sense, but that would be it. That's like saying, I don't think that person should really, live right and serve God and grow in Christ, study his Bible and pray. It's what I always emphasize to our deaf, like Jeff was talking about the SPF, which is funny because I stole that from Shannon. That's what most preachers do, just so you know, a little secret. We're like, oh, I really like what that preacher said. I'm going to use that. So, but study, prayer, fellowship. It's like, I don't think, that person really shouldn't study his Bible or pray or go to church. That just seems like a bad idea. So, no one's going to say that. Because it's a good idea. That's why it's a good idea. Because you know why? Because we have a hope in Christ. And just like Titus 1:2 tells us, God who cannot lie, if God says it, it's true. We can believe it. We can take it to the bank. We can trust it. So I'm not really a big fan of 3 points. I only got 2 for you tonight. So, surprise! I'm not done yet, though, but I only have 2 points for you. We can dare to be different. We can dare, because you know what? It's not easy to step out. We can dare to be different because of our home and because of our hope. And I told you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I'm coming back around to you, and that's right now. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, or you say, you know, I'm really not sure about all this, Cody. What are you talking about? It's like you're talking Chinese up there. I want you to understand something, that this all starts with a trusting relationship with Jesus Christ, trusting in him for your eternal salvation, putting all your faith in him. There's nothing you add on to it. Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, believe in the Lord, be baptized, give money to church, make sure you attend church every time the doors are open, do this, do that, do this. He just said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if there's someone here tonight where you haven't done that, God's working on you, and you're saying, I'm really not sure. Man, that might be me. Take care of that tonight. Don't put it off, because no one's promised tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. And that's the kind of thing where you really don't want to just go with the flow. When in Rome, don't do that. That's too important to do that. But if you're here and you are a Christian, which I imagine on a Sunday night, a vast majority of the people here are saved, have put their trust in Jesus Christ, what do you do? I love the Bible because it answers our questions like that. Because if you look at just the next verse, he says, therefore, this is chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, every time you see therefore, you need to ask what the therefore is there for. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast. There's a verb. You always got to look for the verbs. Those are important in the Bible. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul wants us to stand fast in the Lord. And this encouragement to stand or to stand fast, it's one that we see again and again and again through Paul's writings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Ephesians chapter 6, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. 1 Thessalonians 3:8, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. And I love this one, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And I love this word picture here. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This world, the stuff that we're talking about is bondage. It's like a yoke, like you put on a cow to plow a field. It just holds you down and just makes you do stuff you don't want to do. That's what it is. But we can be free. We have freedom. And I love that entangled, that word picture there. Have you ever been tangled up in something? Maybe literally or figuratively, either way. So messed up in it, so in there you can't get it out. Those like little Chinese things, like, you know, like you, with your fingers. I've gotten myself stuck in those before. So, and it's not fun. It's like, I can't get out. What do I do? So Michelle's over there like, you're stuck. I'm like, I know. What do I do? Oliver one day got his finger stuck in the VCR. He stuck his hand in there, and the little thing closed on his finger. And he's like, what do I do? I'm stuck. I can't get it out. I feel like a bad person for laughing at that, but it was really funny. So what do we Christians need to do? We need to stand fast. Now, what does that mean? Well, we might say it today, hold your ground. To actively persist. I like that definition because it points out that it's something you have to do. I think about it like, have you ever walked into the wind, like a strong gale or, you know, strong wind, usually on a beach or something like that, you know, kind of put your shoulder down and dig in your heels and you kind of fight it and you keep going and you, one step at a time. And you know what I'm talking about? That persisting, that putting your shoulder down into it and just walking into the wind. Because you know what? If you don't do that, if you're just kind of like, yeah, you're not going to stand there very long. You know, if you lose your grip, you're not going to stand there very long. You start like, oh, hey, what's that? You're not going to stand there very long. You lose your focus, lose your grip, you're not going to be able to make it. And it's the same way in our Christian life. We need to stay focused. We need to stay, you know, dug in. Except, you know, we don't dig in our heels into the ground. We dig in the Word of God. So we need to be stand fast. Hold our ground, not to quit. Maybe it's at home. We need to do right even when no one's looking. Even if, you know, just because someone can't see us, doesn't that make it okay? Just so you know. That's how that works. You think, well, it's just my little thing, you know. No one really knows about it, you know. It doesn't hurt anyone else. It doesn't, what's it matter? It matters to God. And that's important because we need to live differently. We need to dare to be different. At work, we need to do everything unto God. Whether it's our actual work that we're doing, whether it's our interactions with our coworkers, whatever it is, we need to do everything as unto God and not as like we're doing it for people. Maybe at school, you know, not just do everything just because everyone else is doing it. Or spiritually, we need to step up and live like Christians. We really do. So, and you know, I'm a strong believer that we are educated far above our obedience, that we know more than we do. And we need to step up and do what we know we ought to do. And really, here's the thing, is it comes down to priorities. What's important to you? Is it more important to have money in your bank or to help send kids to camp? Hope that one didn't hit too close to home. Or is it more important to, you know, have your you time on the weekends or be in church? What's more important to you? Where are your priorities? Because that's what this comes down to. If we're going to live differently, we need to stand fast, put our priorities to God. Because you know what? We have a community out there who's lost and needs a Savior. There are people out there here in Daytona Beach who are dying without a Savior, without knowing who Jesus Christ is. And guess who's responsible to tell them? That's us. There's no one else we can pass the buck off to. That's us. That's all us. And we need to take that responsibility. Because, you know, I love what Paul says earlier on in Philippians in chapter 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Sound familiar? Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We need to shine. Because you know what? There are people out there who need to be saved. And we're going to be the ones to do it. But if we're not shining as lights, we're not living out our salvation, if we're not daring to be different, that's not going to happen. It won't. So I want to challenge you tonight. Dare to be different.